Blakey's Boot Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast. Brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast by Wales Online in association with Giovanni's Restaurants. I'm Ben James. I'm joined as ever by Nathan Blake and Paul Abandonato. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Happy Christmas, everyone.
Happy Christmas, everyone. Happy New Year, if I don't speak to you before then. Just welcome back, Paul, as well, and welcome to Ben.
I know. Drafted in late emergency, as always, isn't it?
Yeah. Late sub.
Indeed.
Never a sub, though.
Super sub.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but the less we talk about him on this podcast, the better. Yeah. We got a fair bit to discuss in this podcast. Two games down this week and one to look forward to. So let's start with last weekend. Lee Tomlin at the death against Barnsley.
Can we start?
Yeah, please.
Can I start?
Yeah, my pleasure.
Again, regular listeners to this show will know my views, and I know Blakey concurs with them. That the way Neil Warnock handled Lee Tomlin was awful this season, and that he would either be a sub, come on as a sub, or start a game and be subbed after about 55 to 70 minutes. And it's just a cycle that had to be broken, Ben and Blakey, because the one thing you have to do when you have one player like that who is different to everybody else in that team, you've got to keep your best ball players on the field, particularly in those closing 20 minutes of a game when the space naturally opens up more, always has done, always will do in a game of football, as other people get tired and so on, and that's when his skills can come to fruition. Yet I come back to Neil Warnock's last game in charge against Bristol City, 70 odd minutes, 1-0 down. He takes off his one creative player, sends on Callum Patterson, and 20 minutes of Route 1 rubbish, quite frankly. And Neil left after that game. But, you know, I don't think Lee Tomlin, we're not talking about Lionel Messi here, but by Cardiff standards, he is their best footballer by a country mile. And if you're going to have a player like that, you build your team around him and you keep him on the pitch for as long as possible. What you don't do is drain his confidence by taking him off or not starting him and expecting him to produce his, in inverted commas, magic.
Or buying him and sending him to Siberia.
Right off. I can't remember what it was. It was Forest, wasn't it? Yeah. Or whatever. But yeah. But I said to you earlier, Blakey, if Neil Warnock didn't, having got rid of Bobby Reid, if he didn't rate Tomlin, he had to make signing a creative 10, his priority in the January transfer window. Now, it seems that Neil Harris is pinning his hopes around Tomlin, and he dubs him the magic man. It's no coincidence to me that he set up one goal with Cardiff losing 2-1 and then grabbed the winner, you know?
Yeah,
it's only Barnsley. Don't get me wrong; they're the bottom team, but the principle is there.
They're the bottom team, but they put us to the sword. You know, they should have been 3-0 to the good for me. I think a lot can be learned from. You know, people say, "Oh, yeah, they're bottom," but yeah, but look at the top of the Premier League, right? Look at the top of the Championship. People play football, like I've been saying for many moons on this podcast, the day of the long ball without playing, just long ball, no structure to what you're doing is history. Teams in League Two are trying to play. Okay, some of the managers, they ain't great at teaching how to press and how to keep ball in possession, how to rest in possession and what have you, but they're all going that way. So, you know, I just think, you know, the season, our promotion season, We were a surprise package for a lot of teams, but once teams work you out, and I think that's what kind of happened this season. You know, it was going one way for me, and I heard today that Neil Warnock had been on a program saying that, you know, he left a great squad and he expected them to get into the playoffs or even get second place. Listen, Leeds, West Brom, they're going to be hard to shift from those top two spots. And
Fulham from third.
Absolutely. And Cardiff will find it difficult getting into that sixth spot, right? Let alone, you know, second. And if that was the case, then, you know, sat at 14th wasn't a great result then, was it? If you think it's a promotional team. I've said from day one, I don't think we're an immediate promotion team. We can challenge between eight. I think we'll finish about eighth, but I think we can challenge for the playoffs. If we can get on a good run, then it's a strong possibility. But looking at the Barnsley game, the way they're creative through midfield and don't panic in defence and look to pass that first pass in the midfield and counter-attack you, you know, it's, you can clearly see, it's evident that they work on that.
Well, I kid you not, but in the Barnsley game, Neil Etheridge actually threw the ball out to Joe Bennett at one point. No, don't laugh.
No,
right?
I'm not laughing.
Right? Just right? The way you phrased it.
You're being serious, but I find that, like, you know, that's what I'm saying. That's.
I challenge you to tell me when the ball has gone short before this season.
I'm on your side. I'm laughing because that is, like, that's crazy. You're actually making a point that is a significant point and a serious point. But if you look on the other side of the coin, you're like, should we be highlighting our keeper roll the ball out to our defender once? You know, that should be not... Okay, if it's not the norm, it happens from time to time. Like, you know what I mean, Paul? That's what I'm saying. So,
yeah. Well, I'm still waiting for the ball to be played inside the box from a goal kick. I'm still not convinced that will happen this season.
I don't think we're ready for that. let's just stick with rolling it out
but,
for now.
But look...
Wait for the rules to change.
I mean, you may, obviously, you know, after that was... And that was a... very good win against Barnsley to come back and win that, and suddenly Cardiff go up to eighth. They're within one point of the playoffs, and we've said all along, if Cardiff can just do a holding job and get near to the top six Christmas time, momentum shifts at that point and the fans suddenly come back in even greater numbers and there's a more belief about it all, which creates a better atmosphere. But of course, I suppose perhaps the inevitable happened with a defeat at Brentford, which was a very disappointing performance. But you mentioned Neil Warnock saying he left a good squad. I've been sort of analysing this squad quite a bit in the last few days because I've done a lot on, you know, the plans to bring through young players and all that, and thinking where the bottlenecks are. And Cardiff's biggest problem, Blakey, to me, is where you used to play.
Left side of midfield?
No, up top. When you left Cardiff then, okay. Right? Up top.
Centre back. Very good centre back.
All right back. All right wing.
You know, there's a list of strikers there. Medine, Ward, Bogle, Vassell, Glatzel. Do any of them really float your boat, Blakey?
Float my boat? No. Do I think one of them can get us 15 goals in a season? I would say... yeah, Ward, I think Danny can get you 15 goals in a season. Should have scored the winner or at least the equaliser on the weekend. I'd be disappointed if I missed that. But no, none of them. I don't see any of them as... I don't see a 20-goal partnership there, let alone a single player to get 20 goals, which is the disappointing thing because religiously, I was watching the playoff game the other night, Blackpool-Cardiff, and players like Chopra would get your goal at absolutely nothing.
As with Bothroyd.
You know, And, you know, you forget, I was watching that team and it's Dave Jones' team and okay, they ultimately failed, but they played some good football. They had some good footballers in there. But you know, just touching back on the Barnsley game, I would say it was a great result. But make no bones about it, you know, it was a difficult, really difficult game, you know, and like you said, they sat at the bottom of the table and, you know, they pushed us all the way. You know, the good thing, the positive thing that came out of that for me was to give some credit to Neil Warnock was that...
Neil Harris, you mean?
No, Neil Warnock, is that they still finished strong like they did as a Warnock team. Now, hopefully that's ingrained in them, that, you know, the stadium, because the first half, yeah, the crowd didn't really get going. They're waiting to be entertained and excited. Second half, got going. You know, when they thought, right, we got a chance here, they really got behind the team. And I think it was that. I think it was the fans that, and we've seen it with Wales, we've seen it with Cardiff at the Cardiff City Stadium. You know, when those fans go off, they go off and they really push that team. And yeah. I think sometimes, as a player, you're aware that you have to generate atmosphere. And players like Tomlin help generate excitement, right? It's not, okay, pick it up, another long throw. you know, ball in the box, another long ball. He brings something different, you know, and we all knew that from day one. That's why fans were so excited when he first got bought. But the myth was built that he can't last 90 minutes. Now, scoring the kind of goal he did in the 94th minute, I think it was, takes a high level of concentration. And your most difficult time to get that level of concentration is when you're most tired. So in the 94th minute, right at the end of the game, he should have been shattered by rights. That ball should have gone way over the top,
yeah,
or way wide. But he was able to control it, concentrate, and keep it on target and win the game for his team. I just think, you know, those things can be overlooked if you like. But if you highlight them and make people aware of them, I think it just helps the whole situation grow and in a more positive light. And we're going in a good run until...
Yeah.
But you are going to... The other thing I would like to say is you are going to get that new manager bounce, right? Which was, what, 3 wins and a draw, was it?
Yeah.
3 wins and a draw, that immediate manager bounce. I always say, don't get overly excited. Like, if we had lost 3 in a row or we'd won 3 in a row, I would say, don't get overly excited. Like a player, give him 6 or 7 games to get into it. And then we kind of see January, late December, January, we'll start to see Neil Harris's stamp on the team and how they're going to play. They are playing a bit more football, but probably similar to his Millwall days. It's not over football. You're not going the other way, but you don't need to go the other way. You need to step forward progressively, step by step. But it's better. It was a disappointing result, though, on the weekend.
Wednesday. It is a lot better. But my concern, that's why I raised it, is what happens up top, because he's pinned his faith in Gary Medine. He clearly rates Gary Medine.
I don't think he has pinned his faith in him. Well, I think he's, as a new manager, what happens is you watch your team in training, and I've experienced this firsthand. You watch your team in training. Listen, some players train as they play.
Yeah.
Right? Some players don't. I was never a player who trained as I played. Why? Because I was aggressive, and you don't get aggressive with your teammates, right? So he might have seen something in training which he thinks, okay, that's going to transfer to the pitch. I think Gary's done well, and fans, you can tell fans want to give him a chance and want to bring him into, you know, loving him and what have you, but it's not quite happening. For some reason, it's not quite there. So, you know,
I mean, last
Neil Harris is only going to stay with that for as long as he has to, you know, and then it wouldn't surprise me if he went out and got another striker. But like I said, warning to the club, you've got to adopt a at least two out, one in policy. Well, you've got to cut that large squad and you've got to cut that wage bill.
But that's why I went through the lopsided nature of the squad, because you could argue that all those strikers could go.
Yeah, right? But do you know what gets
obviously
me, Paul?
You can't do
let
that.
Let me just say this. Well, the lopsided squad, you know, been talking about it for over a year.
Yeah.
You know, but every time, you know, a signing would come in, this will do there. You know, and I'd be scratching my head thinking, well, you know, we've got that type of player, or how does that player fit into what we're trying to do? What are we trying to do? So, you know, I just think, first and foremost, what you've got to do is not worry about adding to that squad, is, you know, run with what you got, identify your most vulnerable positions or where you'd like to strengthen the most, and, you know, tell players who are, you know, on the periphery, right, you need to start making arrangements, because I want you out, I'm going to sell you, right? And in order to do that, once you get 2 players out, right, you can bring someone in. At the end of the day, I just think when the owners put in so much money, you've got to start looking at, right, the return, because they're businessmen and think of investment. So if you're inside the club, you have to think of all these boxes. You can't just think, oh, well, I'm here, I'm Neil Harris, I look after me, number one. This is a collective thing.
Well, let me ask you, do you think, I know Ben's running the show, but let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I think we've seen enough of certain players, right? But I think the jury has to be out a little bit on Robert Glatzel, who came for big money, obviously. Mm. Do you think that the newer way of playing under Neil Harris, or the modified way of playing under Neil Harris, could suit Glatzel more, and we actually might see the real Robert Glatzel? side.
I'm not sure. I think I've always maintained, and I will maintain, I think Robert Glatzel's a good player. I don't think he was in the right team or with the right manager.
Yeah,
That's my opinion. He's more of a football, run onto it, head it, run onto it, slide in, run onto it, finish. He's not a hold up, fight, you know, bring people into play. He's not a McArford. Just because of his size, not all players, Tammy Abraham, for instance, much better at holding the ball up, but for his size and his stature, wasn't that great backing in and holding up the ball. His game is legging it over the top, in behind, you know? And I think Glatzel, while he's not quick, that is more of his game than holding up the balls, which means you have to be more creative, definitely more creative with those middle three. They have to be looking to create. And with someone like Tomlin, I just think if I'm Glatzel, I'm just going to try and build a relationship with him,
yeah,
build an understanding with him, start rooming together, blah, 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 and go from there. But the other point I'd like to make is when we sign players, we've got to look after them better. We've got to make sure that they settle in properly. Like, players coming from wherever and not bringing their families and not settling in and not getting their kids in school and not getting, you know, living in hotels and all that environment, you can't. It's ridiculous. No one's going to settle anywhere in any job doing that. You always feel like you're always tapping your watch thinking it's time to go soon, right? You just might find yourself, and I'll use, as I have done already, Manga as an example. Reason for me, he liked it here. Even say he loved it, but if you truly loved it, you would have moved your family and everything and settled, kids in school, if you've got kids, that is, kids in school, everything. That's not to be overstated, by the way. That is so important. When you get, you think as a player, when you sign for a club, going to a hotel, oh, it's great. I've done it myself many times. Oh, it's great. But after like a week, you think, oh, hotel food, on my own, you know, nothing to do, walk around town again, come back, spend money again, shopping, come back. You're just waiting to train, and play a game. So you need to get that side of the game. Like I keep saying, the culture at Cardiff City needs to improve right across the board for me.
But going back to what I said, maybe a front four, in inverted commas, of Glatzel and Tomlin in the middle, i.e. Tomlin just behind him, with Mendes and Hoylett or Murphy out wide, is actually a creative four that can create goals and score goals in the new year once they get some partnerships going.
I would start with Ward and Tomlin, because I think Ward, if you look at how Tomlin plays, Ward is the best foil I've seen at the moment out of the strikers. Because he's always trying to play on the last man. He looks to run in behind more than get ball into feet. He is awkward backing in and getting the ball and winning free kicks. He can play up against the two. He understands the position on his own. And he's likely to get your goal or get on the end of an opportunity, as he did midweek. But, okay, didn't take it. And that's unlike him. But for me, the best partnership I would be looking to create out of what we've got so far is Tomlin and Ward.
Well, I would go Tomlin and Glatzel, but if not, I would look to buy a striker. I really would.
Yeah, who do you think is the perfect foil for Glatzel? Because what Abbo's sort of said there, that quartet, that reminds me of the sort of quartet that finished last season when you had
Zahor, Reed, Murphy and Mendes.
Which looked like it was going to be the sort of the blueprint for this year, and then Warnock...
And should have been better.
Warnock buys a striker who, you know, Glatzel...
Glatzel
plays forward, you know, he doesn't play back to goal, does he? He plays forward, and yet they sort of never played him with someone who could suit those strengths.
It's from saying, Ben, it never seems to... There never seemed to be any joined up thinking in what we're signing.
It's putting, he's
available, we'll get him. And there must have been some sort of plan of how it's all going to fit together, but too many players come here, like Murphy's nowhere near where he was when we signed him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mendes Lang,
he's
playing better now, but he's below where he was, if you think championship winning season. You know, you got to think, why are the players not? You know, they got another level, maybe two in them.
Is that just like a sort of Neil Warnock thing, particularly with strikers? Because you look at like last year, like who he brought in, obviously Medine's never really sort of suited the way they played. Umar Nias used to run the channels and he was pulling defenders wide, but the way Cardiff played, you never had anyone sort of capitalising on the space.
That's why I say Ward instead of Glatzel, because Ward is closer than Nias but can finish.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. He will do that running into the channels, pulling people around. And he's quite clever around the 18-yard box. So, and he's decent in the air.
Yeah. You said about signing a striker in January just then. Don't get too defensive about that.
Keep looking at you, Fender.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Just said about signing a striker in January. We're only what, 2 weeks away from the transfer window?
Yeah.
Considering that Cardiff haven't really looked to have much of a blueprint when it comes to signing a striker, let's nail it down in this podcast. What is the archetypal striker that Cardiff City should be signing to play in this team?
You'll say we had him.
Kiefer Moore.
That rhymes with Kenneth Sahore.
Kiefer Moore.
Kiefer Moore or Did Kenneth Sahore? Which you gonna pick today? No, I think... all due respect to Paul, it's his opinion. I think that's lazy. Right?
Kiefer.
No, I think that's lazy because that's jumping out at you because it's immediate. Right, if Kiefer hadn't played well for Wales, there is no way that he would be mentioned. And if you look at Kiefer's record in the Championship, it's not good enough.
And Cardiff's recent track record of signing Welsh internationals.
We don't need that. We need someone who's going to get you.
Volks, Emma Hughes.
Right, you know, we need to. You know, you've got to think yourself. You've always traditionally had strikers who score goals, Chopra, Boffroyd, you know, Ernie. You know, they score for fun. You know, we haven't seen it here for years now. I mean, and I think part of the problem is a lot of the strikers come in, and if they're in the team, they're a flash in the pan. I think Kenneth Zahor was a flash in the pan. Won half a good season, I think. Right? And then we sat waiting for it to come back. It wasn't a boomerang, that one. That boomerang went and kept going.
Who's your unlazy signing then? Robert Lewandowski we're going to get, are we?
Who? Robin Lewandowski? No, I know. You know. Okay. I mean, I've touched the nerve there. No, clearly, I've touched the nerve. Would you sign Kiefer Moore on the back of his Championship record?
I didn't know much about him, but haven't seen what.
Look at his goals in the Championship. I think he scored 2.
I don't even know what his Championship record is.
Right. Well, then,
I can't judge it. Having seen what he does for Wales, I can see that sort of player being the sort of player Cardiff
needs. Do Wales have a Gareth Bale, an Aaron Ramsey, or any of these type of players? Don't brush it off,
we discussed all this about a month ago.
No, but they don't.
When we took opposite stances.
Yeah, so the point is to get Kiefer Moore to score in that time, you've got to have your Wilsons, you've got to have your Bales, you've got to have your Allens, you've got to have your Ramseys.
And at this level,
haven't got that. Tomlin who's going to unlock the
but
door
that was
you.
International. We're talking about the Championship here, where the defenders are nowhere near as good, and he could be linked. You could link him around Tomlin, Mendes, and
Hoyle. You're saying it because it's Welsh. I don't know. The world's bigger than that.
All of whom you rave about, those players.
No. I'd rather go with someone who's got strength but ridiculous pace. I would rather go with that.
Alan Shearer still playing?
I would. Okay. I could go down the Northern Conference, Southern Conference, and find players who are quick. You just got to be able to, you know, there's, what's his name, son? Des Walker's boy, who was playing for Mansfield last season. You know, that boy is quick. He can hold up the ball and he can score goals. If you look about, it's like saying everyone who's in the Premiership was in the Premiership in the start. People start at lower league clubs and move their way up. So rather than go for someone who's in the Championship and not scoring goals, I personally would go either abroad or look at, say, what's his name at Newcastle?
Who's Dwight Gale?
Dwight Gale. Someone like that. Someone you know is going to get you 15, 20 goals a season. Would you rather Dwight Gale or Kiefer Moore?
Dwight Gale.
Over Kiefer Moore?
Yes.
Well, there you go. That didn't take me long, did it?
I would.
So I had to look outside the box, is
no,
it?
Dwight would have a price tag because he's a Championship,
He's probably towards the end of his contract and you sort of
Dwight Gale is not a light bulb moment, by the way. Let's not treat that as a real left field.
No, but it was easy. Kiefer Moore was like, you've got a picture of Kiefer Moore right behind you. That's like so easy.
What I would say is that Kiefer Moore is more suitable to the kind of style that I think Neil Harris will have with Cardiff City. I'm not convinced Dwight Gayle would suit that style as well, any more than Danny Ward does. And so you probably do need a big man with presence for the sort of football that I think that had the mix and match approach that we're hoping that Harris will use.
I don't think Harris is going to go that far.
Then you need a big man even more then if he's not going to go that. Then. No pun intended on Kiefer there, by the way.
Well, we're
good. But anyway,
it's a game of opinions.
It is, absolutely. And I think that there is a lopsided squad of strikers. He is pinning his faith in Medin at the moment. He does talk him up very, very highly. And I hope doesn't become a sort of like an albatross around his neck the way it was for Warnock, trying to justify a £6 million fee.
The only thing that's going to remove that albatross from around his neck is goals. Playing okay and playing well and bringing people into play. Listen, they're givens, mate. 25, right? As a striker, you only get judged. I wasn't a striker until I left Cardiff City, and I was told quickly, you're only judged on goals, mate. Right? Like it or lump it, like it or loathe it, it's goals.
Did you see those goals coming?
Gary Medin?
He was desperate.
Did you see Medin scoring those goals?
I'm desperate for him to score.
That's not the question.
He scored and it was offside.
Yeah, he was desperately unlucky last week.
He's so close, he's so unlucky. But if I said to him, if you're asking me, will he get, okay, between, say, the new year, the last 4 months of the season, do I think he'll get double figures in that amount of games, in 20 games, 25 games? No, I don't. But, you know, in the Championship, and people are trying to play, like I said earlier, but the Championship isn't brilliant this year. I mean, people are trying to go towards that more footballing style, but people are still struggling to get there some. They've not got the full package, i.e. like Barnsley. They can do it to an extent, but they haven't got it totally locked off. But no, I can't see Gary getting like double figures.
Should cut their losses?
I already said that. I don't dislike him. I'd love to see him score goals, but it's like, how long do you want to wait?
Do you think they should cut the losses with Glatzel, Bogle and Vassell as well?
I think it's about 15 players I cut my losses with. And most of them are
strikers.
Are in the names you just mentioned. Yeah.
To be fair, Abo jinxed Gary Medin last weekend because he tweeted before the game saying he had a feeling he was going to score, and then he has a goal ruled off for offside and then comes off and in 3 minutes Danny Ward has scored, never going to happen.
Yeah, the Abo effect.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
Let's look ahead then, because I think we've looked back enough. Nice little trip to Elland Road.
Yeah, always a good one for us. Always a good place to go, traditionally, for Cardiff City. Has been over the years. I think they're more fearful of us coming than we are going. And I hope that is maintained. If you can get that across to the players, new manager, whether he knows or is aware of it or not, don't know. Players who are there, new players, whether they're aware of it or not, don't know. But make them aware of it. You know, let them know, get on top of these. This crowd will turn on their own players quickly because of what's happened and gone before. So, you know, but make no bones about it, Leeds a good team. And they're fit. That's what I like about them. And they're quick and they can press properly and they can defend well. But they're not, you know, it's not like Franco Baresi at the back or what have you. It's still vulnerable. So, yeah, they're open to goals.
What were your thoughts on the game?
I feel the same as I did when we were discussing the game up at Nottingham Forest, which I was confident of Cardiff winning because that Leeds are another team. Cardiff have an excellent record against. They appear. I'm not saying they always seem.
Oh yes,
beat
so
Leeds.
You called the result, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. What I'm now? Not saying they always beat Leeds because I can recall a couple of Leeds wins, but by and large, Cardiff seem to be Leeds' jinx team.
They have their ticket.
You know? Yeah. Home and away. They do well against
Leeds. It goes back to the Scott Young goal. It does.
Yeah.
There's a thing about it.
I think he'll make a couple of changes, Glenn. I think he'll
Ben.
So Glenn was at the press conference today. Apologies. I think he might well... I think Jazz Richards will come into contention this week, possibly for Peltier.
What?
Yeah, I do. I think...
What?
I think...
For what? Hold on. Just to justify that one for me. Because Peltier has been...
Because he...
I would say my man of the year so far.
Well, Peltier. Then maybe you're coming for Joe Bennett. He raves about Jazz Richards and what he can offer. Absolutely raves about him. So I think now that Jazz is fit, I think he'll look to work him in the team. I suspect Joe Riles may start as well. Another one that he raves about. He may come in for Bakuna, potentially.
What?
In midfield.
What are you talking about, Willis? Come on, man.
I'm simply...
come on, man.
Stating...
Where are you going?
He's not just
going
to pick the same team again. He's going to make
after
changes.
One loss. I think three wins and a draw.
I think he'll make
he's flying.
I think he'll make changes this time. He's admitted.
And didn't he say he was going to keep more of the same team rather than keep switching?
Well, I'm not saying he won't keep more of the same team. He'll keep nine of the same team.
Okay.
He'll make a couple of changes.
Okay.
Possibly start with Medina ahead of Ward. That could be a third change. I think that's less likely than the other changes I've suggested, actually. So I think you might freshen it up a little bit after a grueling sequence of games. Whether it's going to be whoever plays, whether it's actually going to be good enough to maintain the excellent recent record, I suppose, is very much open to question.
I'm not going to comment. I'm just going to follow. I'm going to let Paul's comments stay out there and see what happens, because he has more... one-to-one time with Neil Harris than I do.
These are things that Paul and Glenn have discussed,
obviously through press conferencing and things like that. So I just look at performance and take it from there. So changes happen. If Peltier went out, I'd be surprised. I'd be very, very surprised. You know, 2 weeks ago he made a tackle, a block tackle that was worth his weight in gold. You know, he's that kind of. He's just a boy and a half for me, and he's playing better this season. And under Harris, he is, like I said, he's running forward more, not always with the intention of getting the ball, just that unselfish run forward, which opens up space for your striker or a midfielder to run through. No, those things can go unnoted either. For me, if I had to say who's player of the year so far, I'd give him the trophy, no problem. So I'd be surprised to see him go.
It's lucky you were looking at me then and not Abel, because he just made a face and a half.
Yeah, let Abel make his face.
And Riles?
You reckon
Riles coming back in?
You reckon that could play into the Leeds press or negate it?
Riles in for Bakuna?
Yeah. Or will he be just a sort of bystander anyway?
I would go for on the ball strength, power, and being able to pass it. I would go for Bakuna over Riles. So
would you?
If you're then going up against a team that is going to try and press you, then I would go. I think under pressure, Joe becomes that sideways player again. He reverts to type, right? I think where Bakuna has got a bit more experience than Joe. So that's just my personal opinion. So in a team that's going to press you, you go with your most experience, I would. And I would stick with Bakuna, because I think he's had a decent season as well.
Yeah. There we go.
Paul just drops people, man. He's ruthless.
Oh, unbelievably so. Right, let's get on to predictions then. Shall we finish with them? So Paul's pretty confident, so we'll start with him.
Yeah, because he got one right the other day. He's flying. Go on, Pabs.
I think Leeds will win 2-1.
What?
After all that.
Honestly, is that your prediction, really?
I think so.
Okay.
I fear so. But I think that the Ellen Road factor that you mentioned, which is perfectly valid, Cardiff, I can see a scenario where it's kept at 0-0, and in the last 20, Cardiff win the game because the Leeds crowd get all fidgety and uppity, and they wouldn't turn on the players, but you know what I mean? The nerves come onto the pitch, but obviously there's even more likelihood of it working in reverse and to their favour and lifting the...
I'd go a 2-0 win for Leeds. Yeah. I think it's the pace that we'll struggle with. That fitness, that tempo which they play at, and the fact they can keep that tempo for a good 80-odd minutes I think City will score. I think we've beaten them so many times up there. I think it's kind of due a reverse result.
Yeah.
And I think this season has been our away form has been our stumbling block, hasn't it?
Well, this is the first trip up to Elland Road with Bielsa, isn't it? So.
No, was he not in City last year?
No, and the year before, the season we won.
He came in last year, didn't he?
The season we won the title, he was at Leeds.
I don't think he was.
No, he wasn't. He was, but I'm sure he'd been in charge last year.
Yeah, but obviously Cardiff in the Premier League last year.
Yeah, was this his third year?
I'm glad it's Christmas.
He had a 1 year contract last year.
Because they were saying he's only going
to
stay.
So it'd be interesting to see what effect that has.
Okay. I thought it was a 2 year contract.
Yeah. Fancy for getting Cardiff in the Premier League last year.
Yeah.
How times change.
Get old, see, mate. Yeah,
there we go. Since no one asked, I'll go 2-0 Leeds.
Do you want to make a prediction for Glenn Williams, our Cardiff City correspondent, in his absence? He'll listen to this avidly.
3-0 Cardiff. He's
3-0 Cardiff. I think Glenn would go
1-1.
I think he'd go 2-1 to Leeds, like me, or he'd maybe go 1-1. So let's say 1-1 for Glenn.
There we go then.
Short and sweet.
Lovely stuff. That's it for today's podcast. You can catch all the news from Leeds, all the action and reaction on Wales Online.